The program is Soundings. This is Wayne Pond at the National Humanities Center. You've been listening to a conversation about social satire through the ages. My guest was Fred Ahl, a recent visitor at the center. Fred Ahl is a professor of classics at Cornell University. In the spirit of this first week in April, Soundings continues now with a conversation on Discourses of Gender and Desire, The Semiotics of Media in the 60s. My guests are Christopher Shields of the Institute for Classical Philology at the University of Mainz and Philip Mitzis of Cornell University. Here is Philip Mitzis.
Well, one of the reasons we got interested, especially in this brilliant show, Gilligan's Island, was that it serves as a kind of microcosm for the analysis of many things I think contemporary philosophers, sociologists, political theorists, etc., have been working on.
Yeah, you're taking popular culture right to the edge here, are you?
Well, we prefer to think of it as semiotic analysis of popular situation comedies from the early 60s, and our investigations and research show, as Philip was suggesting a moment ago, that really, in particular, to Gilligan's Island and Andy of Mayberry, are essentially synecdoches for the larger social structure, and therefore provide us with a microcosm, as it were, of the sociological and semiotic structure of the society at large.
Self-reflexive. I mean, if these writers are doing this, they're doing it consciously.
Oh,
they're
clearly
using media. We have media inside of media.
Oh,
circles.
Clearly, it's a spiral of self-reference completely.
Mm-hmm. What about gender?
There are, in fact, three men. Those are Gilligan, of course, the skipper, four men, excuse me. Well, that's if we're going to consider Thurston Howell a man. He's actually a fairly borderline character that we'll need to discuss.
Which is why we're interested in the problem of gender. But Basically, I think one of the things you can say for them is that it's brilliant the way they manage to work in both genders into this show.
All right.
And then they look at the whole spectrum, both of heterosexual and then kind of this latent homosexual.
We've got the captain, we've got Gilligan, we've got the professor, and then what, a sort of a sexually questionable character?
Thurston, he is an effeminate, wealthy man who's had the privileges of the educated class.
This is the Jim Backus character.
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm. And indeed, he is, well, I suppose many people would regard him as swishy in one sense of the term. And indeed, I think that would be a fair assessment. Though he brings to our consciousness that there's a fundamental imbalance on the island, because if he weren't this sort of bridge character between the male and the female, there would be a clear imbalance, when in fact there are now three or three and a half of each.
All right, but he's married. He is, for all practical purposes, at one level, apart from the self-reflexivity, he's at one level overtly heterosexual.
At the mundane base level,
but
that's clearly undeniable.
But he's married, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a very sort of 50s view about what could really be going on.
All right, and then by contrast, we have these female characters. We have the Tina Louise character, mm-hmm. and especially
Ginger.
Seth, right. Phil, who are they?
Well, there's Ginger and there's Marianne.
Uh-huh.
And Lovey.
Both Lovey, who is Thurston Howell's wife. Right?
Uh-huh.
And the three of them, I mean, it's interesting the kind of dynamics between them. I mean, mm-hmm. there's obviously a fair amount of sexual competition and cattiness on this island, because
mm-hmm. Ginger, an aphroditic character, right. in very clear terms, compared to the more wholesome Marianne, who together form the object of desire of every American man's psyche. We have both there a lascivious, dominating bitch and a docile, wholesome mother figure.
Yeah, we have the sort of Madonna and horse.
We have some theology at work in this scenario.
I think self-consciously and undeniably that these figures are incorporated as Madonna figures.
What have the Marxists made of that? Certainly we have some commentary from the Marxist media critics.
Yes, let me bring us back just for a moment to this Marxist point of von Prusky's. We have essentially on the island an alienated member of the proletariat together juxtaposed with a capitalist exploiter who has with him the wherewithal of his capitalist trade and mission, but who's now made impotent in a certain way because he can no longer procure the labor of the exploited proletariat. Nevertheless, a class structure springs up on the island which reflects the dominant society.
Undergirded by the irony of these beautiful women.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's conclude our conversation. Christopher Shields, Film Insist, we're talking about Discourses of Gender and Desire, Semiotics of Media in the 60s. That's fairly obvious. What about the ideological dimension to Gilligan's Island? What can you tell me about that, Phil?
Well, I think one of the things that we're trying to do, first of all, in our own analysis, is not to succumb to those very invidious tensions and ideological distortions that will often affect this kind of analysis.
Well, there has been an enormous amount of internecine warfare among and between the critics of pop culture.
Which is why we're trying not to descend into that quagmire. We're trying to hover above it and watch as the various schools fight with one another, because, indeed, many of them, though they hold contradictory points of view, have interesting analyses to make. And by remaining aloof, as we have in our own particular ideological orientation, we believe that our research shows a new sort of synthesis, almost an Hegelian synthesis, of the various semiotic viewpoints brought together thus far.
The program is Soundings. This is Wayne Pond at the National Humanities Center. You've been listening to a discussion on Discourses of Desire, the Semiotics of Media in the 60s. My guests were Philip Mitzis of Cornell University and Christopher Shields of the Institute for Classical Philology at the University of Mainz.